PJ, it's great to have you on the show.
I feel like I am blown. I am humbled to be at the table in the presence of greatness. You know, I'm just like, when you said to come, like, oh, right. oh, you know, you're very intimidated to have a conversation.
How?
You know, all you smart people.
You know, it's interesting. Everyone has been on the show so far because I've had Toby and I've had Denola. And you're actually number three of 3,000.
Oh.
Which is great. When I say 3,000, I mean like in future.
Right, right, right.
So you guys are like the first. I first, you know, have my guys in there. It's like everyone's watching me. So I feel like you guys were paid to watch me.
No, no. It's not watching. You know, people like us, we only speak the truth. You know me. It takes a lot to impress me. And if you're a smart person, you're a smart person.
It's okay. No, if it's my show. So I could cut it.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm hopeful.
It's great to have you. I'm really excited about this conversation. Mm. And I'm sure we're going to share so much insightful stuff. I want to like jump right into this, right? So I'm not going to go. I'm going to jump, dive in.
Let's
okay.
Do it.
So
let's do it.
I love the fact that I know, like, you know, you've got like two business degrees. Mm. So you've got like the bachelor's and then you've got the MBA as well. But then you're an actor, rapper, pastor. What else? What am I missing? Motivational coach.
I'm missing
all of that, right? Like, it's a lot of things that, you know, you do simultaneously. But, like, I want to talk about, like, that journey, right? Like, what was that journey between, you know, the business part and then where you are now?
Well, it's crazy because when I, you know, growing up, I was always involved with church. I was always involved in music, singing, dancing. Theater was a big part of my life, you know. And, you know, when you grow up in the Nigerian educational system, I mean, for most of my high school and uni, I was away, but you always get the fact that you see, they divide you in terms of your ability, whether you are smart, book smart, or creative. So you have arts or science, right? So if they see that you're book smart, they push you towards science. If you're more creative than you are academic, they push you towards, you know, arts.
Right, truth,
right. So that divide, but for me, I realized that I was as smart as I was creative. So I was very good student academically, but I was
very creative as well.
So I found that the both of them kind of fed each other. So all through school academics, I was always involved in, you know, even dance, theater, somehow, some kind of theater or creatives. I was poetry, dancing, singing.
You ever do like
expression.
Art?
What, like, yeah, you know, I think you guys are idiots. That's another part of creative. I think, I don't know how you guys do it. I watch what you, oh my, you just started, I'm like, how do you start? Then you know, you do that thing that you do when you, what do you call it?
Doodle.
You guys are normal. But anyways, you guys are aliens. Anyway, so I don't do that. I've always sucked at that, by the way. But more on the creative side. So uni came, you know, I was business student. Started with computer science. And then went to management information systems. Then picked up public relations and advertising. Graduated with a business degree and minor. Did my master's, but all through the while I had a dance crew. I was dancing.
Right.
In school for dancing. I would go do dance battles like You Got Served, all of that stuff, you know, parties and all of that stuff. So I think it was in 2000 and I was listening to some music. I remember how I got into music. I was listening to, I was Cass Beats, Familiar, and it was, I was in America and it dropped. I'm like, yo, I saw the video. I'm like, yo. And I thought to myself, you know, being a Christian, you know, this is fire. I like it. But if you tell me don't drink Coke, give me an alternative.
Right.
Give me Pepsi. Don't tell me Coke is bad. I like Coke. It looks good. It feels good. I like the taste. I like the way it's appealing to me and my senses. So I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to do music. That's how I started music. I was like, you know what? Let's do it. So I called my sister. I'm like, do you know any producers? I want to do music. I go for summer, record two tracks, come back, link up with Mike Todd, Transformation Church now. We do the whole album in 7 days. And came back to Nigeria, like, I guess I'm doing music. So I still was plugged into Accenture because I was there for a year doing consulting with them while doing my music thing on the side.
Right.
You know, it was always a side
gig. The music was
thing.
A side gig.
You know, everything creative has always been a side thing. Yeah. I left Accenture, went into oil and gas. I was doing shipping for like 2 years. And, you know, again, still doing music. And how Nollywood came around, I never planned.
Yeah, because I mean, like, I would never have seen you in Nollywood.
I didn't see myself in Nollywood. It was not, I mean, I'd done stage plays here and there, did some in the States, did a little bit before I left, but I had no, so I tell people I'm in Nollywood, but not of Nollywood, because I don't know things that other Nollywood actors know. I don't know the veterans, I don't know the producers. I'm like, who's that? Not to be rude, I just don't know. I never had an interest in the...
It wasn't like a dream
or something. No, it just kind of happened. So literally, there was a church movie that they were doing, and it had Femi Jacobs and Desmond, all people in church. And I told the producer friend, told her I was acting as well. I'm like, yo, I kind of acted, so just give me a role. And she's like, okay, okay. I'm like, they gave me some goody two. I'm like, nah, listen, I know a lot about reality. This guy is quite dull. Give me something that's exciting. Give me something that, you know, they give me supporting lead. I had no idea what that was. And they're like, this guy is like the antagonist of the story. Okay, tell him what to do, I'll do it.
Right.
Did that, Desmond was on the set. Desmond was like, yo, you're really good. You should consider this. I'm like, really? I'm like, okay, listen, if you have any opportunities, hit me up, you know? And he had two jobs with the Rocco. Funny story, when I moved back, I had an interview with Rocco to work with them, like as a marketing manager.
On the business side, right.
I never went, because my dad's like, this new company I just started, don't go, just be careful how they come back. I was like, yes, I never showed up, right? So he had two jobs for Rocco. The first one was a wayward son. I was just messing around with Bill. I'm like, let me just chill on this one. So like, the other one would be a set with Mary Remy, that's okay. Jason's wife. Yeah. And Mary, Nino, Aduni, who else was on that set? Alex Akubo, a lot of them. And so I came out on set, I played the supporting role, to Alex, you know, everything was cool. I'm done, and Mary is like, you're really good, give me your number. And I'm like, okay, she's like, I'll call you. I'm like, sure. I'm at the gym, she calls me and says, I have this show called Husbands in Lagos. I want to put you on the show, make your husband come see me in the office tomorrow. Okay.
So it's like a series of time and chances.
Literally. And chance. From there, I do that. I get another call after that. So I had no one plugging me. I didn't look for it. So I think I'd say to people that God opened the door for me. Never done, you know, auditions. I don't know how they do it.
Right.
And I get, they have the utmost respect for me because I don't know I could. Get calls and next thing you know, 4 years go by. I mean, 2016 it started.
Yeah.
And I kept getting to realize that, yo, you know, I mean,
it's
I paid
been a
my
short
dues.
While, but you've done so many movies. Like, on the average, like, how many movies do you think you've done?
Over 75.
Wow.
75. Over 75.
That's a lot. Yeah. Yes, that's a lot. And like, you have all these other things. So there's the acting, there's the music, there is the motivation. In fact, sometimes I look at your stuff, like, right? And I'm like, this guy is superhuman, and we know ourselves, right?
So,
do you ever feel like you look at your abilities and you see? Do you ever feel like, man, like I'm superhuman or something? Like, or do you ever feel like, you know what? Like, this is how everyone should be. Like, everyone should have capacity or should understand the capacity that they have.
I don't think I'm superhuman, and I think for me, it's a thing of I realized that, and over a period of time in my life, I began to realize that. I do things with ease that other people struggle with.
Mm.
Not because I'm trying, but it just comes easier naturally to me. I read a quote one day that said, your talents are God's gifts to you, and what you do with them is your gift back to God. And I thought to myself, if God has given me this natural ability that comes naturally to me, he gave it to me for a reason.
Mm.
Now, I know that the strength of the youth is, I mean, the strength of the youth is, the beauty of the youth is their strength, which means that I have a time and season where, with this young age or time I am to do all these things, and the time will come when I can't do it. So you know what, in the time that I can, in the season that allows me to be here today and be there tomorrow, I'm gonna utilize all my gifts that God has given me. Miles Monroe said the wealthiest place in the world is a graveyard because people die not fulfilling their purpose and you know, giving all they have to the world. And he said, I want to die empty. Mm. So I thought to myself, I'm going to do everything that I can while I can. Because when I'm 50, I can't be jumping around. When I'm 45, people believe that I'm like, who is this guy? So with the time that I
get. Well, PJ, I feel like when you're 50, yeah, you're the same.
You know what I mean? I mean, I plan that. I'll be one of those zaddies that they're like, is that your daddy? I'm like, yeah. You know, that's just vanity. But
yeah, no, I feel like that.
Yeah, but so I guess that's why, I mean, I just do what I do. And I feel like, you know, while I can, I should. And to the best of my ability. And I know we've had this conversation about this jack of all trades, master of none.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like, yo, jack of all trades, master of all. If you're going to do this, And again, there's always the responsibility that comes with it. So if you decide that you're going to do ABC, you have to do it excellently well, which means you work harder than others. So while others are sleeping, you're up saying, yo, I gotta, you know, I'm on set and I have to preach tomorrow. Yeah. So while I'm in between my scenes, I got my Bible cracked open. I'm thinking, okay, I'm shooting till 5 a.m. And that means I have to drive from set to climb on stage and preach an Easter sermon and then change it and I go back to set. That's what I have to do. Or I'm changing my car to go speak at a conference and go back to set.
Right.
It's taxing sometimes. Yeah, but if you've said that you're going to do it and God has given you the grace to do it, then do it with your whole heart. So I don't think I'm super human.
Yeah, I mean, like, so there's like the responsibility part, but then there's also even the financial part, because then you're moving your money, right? So you make money here.
Yeah.
You now have to go and record.
True.
And that you have to pay for that recording, right? And then you go and you need to get a camera, and then you get a camera. So there's also that, because it kind of spreads you.
Absolutely.
You know, thin across, but like you said, it's about commitment.
Yeah.
It's about committing that you're going to, you know, do this, and it's something you really want to get done. So now in that space, right, like, how do you shift from one role to the other? So I want to talk about the dynamics of that, because the things you do, as much as some of them are in the creative space, some of them are on the opposite spectrum as well,
right?
Even down to being daddy,
right?
And then being husband,
right?
You know, like, how does that shift happen for you?
So I've heard that, and you know, talk about the man's brain, that they're different boxes, and maybe I compartmentalize a lot, so I wear different hats. Sometimes those worlds sometimes can be miles apart, but sometimes they all converge together.
Right.
You have to navigate through. So case in point, I'm shooting. I used to train. So after I left oil and gas, I was doing trainings for about a year, innovations, leadership and management, different clients. Dangote was one of my clients. I'm shooting on a set, and I get a call from Dangote, and they're saying, listen, they're starting this new project in Free Trade Zone. They want to train blah, blah, people with, you know, in vocational skills and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Can you do it? I'm like, listen, I read another quote. If someone offers you an opportunity, say yes, and figure out the details later.
Right.
I'm like, vocational study? Yeah, we could do it. I have a vocational. Yes, tell me what you need. They say, okay, we need you to come in. Can you come for a meeting now? I can't. Tomorrow, 9 a.m., let's have a chat. I'm supposed to be shooting. I'm like, I'll be there. Now that's my professional world, and I'm like, okay, so I tell them, listen, guys, I'm going to come up like 10:30. I go in for the meeting, and they say, okay, fine. This was Wednesday.
Right.
Say, can you have a presentation for us Friday? You're going to meet with the board.
Right.
10 people, and Dangote, just so grinning. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. I shoot all day Wednesday.
Wow.
Shoot all day Thursday. Thursday night, I'm sitting in front of my computer. Because I have to present the presentation Friday. I'm building this deck from scratch. I call the send me everything you have, your videos, everything. I'm up all night trying to create this deck. And as I'm creating it, I'm remembering what I'm piecing it together in my mind, because I have to give the presentation.
It's like multiple full time.
Yo, you know, so sometimes they converge, and it's just that, like, listen, you got to push through. Mm. It's that commitment. But also, I think it's being aware, being fully present in every. If I'm preaching, I'm fully aware in the moment. I devote my mind, my body, my soul in that moment to focus on the task in front of me. Once I'm shifting to the acting, once I disengage from that, and when I shift into actor, I'm an actor.
Mm.
So I can compartmentalize and separate, you know, once. And again, sometimes you have to multitask, because you haven't spoken with your family all day. Just checking with them. Hey, baby, you all right? Good. I'm just shooting as well. Let you know I'm thinking about you. Okay. Hey, Ariette, you know, go back. But you have to juggle, but you have to always be focused, and, you know, or else it will all suffer. So you tune in when you lock in. So once I shift from acting, I'm going to relationship coach, I'm giving you all of that. And then acting needs to, but again, your personality connects everything together, who you are. So a part of you bleeds through everything. But I think just being able to focus in the moment, I think, makes all the difference.
And like, time becomes a major currency for you, because you have to make sure that you're utilizing all, you know, your time like properly, right? Because if you're talking about being present, in the different spheres, it's like, you can't just, you know, fuck around with your time.
No.
But in between all of that, like, you know, how do you compartmentalize the part where you have to rest? And, you know, you have to think about yourself and the things that you want to do, right? So your hobbies and stuff like that.
I think, you know.
Or is that a journey for you?
With rest, you know, I think for me, I have two ideologies on rest, because rest is very important. Right, you always need that time to reset and recoup. And sometimes how I rest sometimes is, if I have a free day, I just sit in front of the TV and watch Netflix, or just watch series, and I'm not thinking, I'm just I kind of just zone out. So that's where I kind of chill, you know. But also, there's a part of me that feels like you can rest when you are dead. There's that side of it where it's like, listen. There was a family friend of mine, like an uncle who worked with Dangote, and he told me a story. He's like, you know, you would think that anytime Dangote is traveling, people meet his PA to ask him to ask, they beg him to remove their names from the list. They don't want to travel with Dangote in the jet because if you're in that jet, that means you're not sleeping.
Right.
The man is working. He told me they took a trip to China before they stopped over in Kenya. And then from there, they went to China, had a meeting in the hangar, pulled back and went to Spain. And all through the time, the man is working. And then he's like, so if Dangote is working, what? Come on, will you wake up? Why are you sleeping? Do you get what I'm saying? And so sometimes I think to myself, listen, there are many people who have achieved a lot in life. And, you know, there's a price to pay.
Yeah.
But you also have to be careful that you don't burn out. But
absolutely,
you
yeah.
got to pay that price.
There
has to be a balance, but you're fully aware of.
Because we don't have the same doctors that Dangote has.
living in Nigeria, I don't
you know we don't know what has been injected to keep him forever. Fam,
let's not talk about that.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm like, listen, Nigeria, to live here is fit.
Right.
You
right.
know. So I think for me, I try to as much as I can get power naps here and there, 2 hours here, 3 hours there. Yeah. You know, when I can, and my mind is always racing. So, but you know, I rest as much as I can.
Yeah, I mean that's lovely. So throughout all of this, you know, this the dynamics of what it is that you've created and who it is that you are. Like, what are some of the things that you've learned about yourself?
For me, I think you know, people see me or they look at my brand and they think you know, outlaw, renegade, confrontational, different. You know, because I don't fit a particular box, not because I've tried to create this for myself. It's just who I am.
Right.
Growing up, you know, being a pastor's kid, you're put on a pedestal where people try to tell you how you should be and who you should be and how you're the moral compass for everybody's life and how, you know, your actions affect not only you, your parents' legacy, the church legacy, everything. You feel like, you know, they make you the crown prince and you're next in line and excellent.
Right.
There's so many expectations.
Like you're referred to as this person's child versus your identity.
Oh, yes.
Right.
That, you know, you can't even escape that. Yeah. You know, I tell somebody, I said, if I mess up today, my mother's legacy can be eroded. She's been dead for almost 15 years.
Mm.
That's crazy. That's a weight that I live with my whole life, you know. But for me, I just grew up to not really care. It's like, find out who you've created to be and be comfortable with yourself. People will always love you as long as you, the narrative they have for you, you meet the expectation of their narrative. Once you begin to deviate from that, then there's a problem. So they expect you to be one way and you play to their tune, we're good. Once you start to break from that, then they begin to, and I tell people's opinions are fluid.
Right.
If you live your life based on people's opinions, they'll love you today, they'll hate you tomorrow. Ask Jesus Christ. Hosanna, crucify him.
Right.
People's opinions are fluid, they change. And if you build your identity based on the opinions of people, you're going to try to be everything to everyone and not have an identity,
absolutely.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's just being comfortable with who I've been called to be and not trying to, you know, pander to your opinions or your thoughts or what you feel is important. I have my checks. I'm good with the man up there. I'm good with my spiritual covering, my earthly covering as well. I'm accountable to my family, and we're all good. Then really, you don't have to like me.
Right.
As long as we respect each other, and I love you, that God asked me to love everybody, then we're good. So for me, it's, you know, I've built a tough skin. I don't really care. Not to be rude, not to be proud. It's just me. I'm comfortable with me.
Yeah.
Anything I do, I must have a conviction for it. You know, so if everybody's going left, I'm not going to go left because I'm gonna ask you why.
Right.
And if I don't want to go left, I'm not going left.
Right.
Tough. I'm gonna go right till left makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I've learned that about me is just having the tough skin and being focused and being okay with, and I tell people, be the best version of you.
Mm.
No one can be you. So I think for me, I've learned that, and it's like, be true to yourself. Be the person. It's a disservice to God. It's like if God makes, if someone makes a Mercedes and his Mercedes goes, oh no, I want to be a Toyota, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people lose themselves in like that, you know, in trying
to
people please. And the truth is, you really can't please it.
No.
Like you can literally go into a hall and perform.
Right.
And there'll be people who are applauding and there are people who are like,
Fam.
He's crap.
And look over their heads.
You know, and I've also even learned not to judge people's thoughts about you based on their appearance or their reaction, because even that's not always the fact. So like when the times where I've gone to like speak at an event, right? And like there's someone just sitting in front that just looks like, moody,
right?
And everyone else is feeling this, it's like word. This guy is just not moving, right? And after you get off stage, that's this the first guy that comes up to you and is like, oh my gosh, this impacted me. But if your energy changes,
right,
because you're assuming what it is that they're thinking about you, then, and that kind of applies, that same situation applies in life in general. It's like you sometimes, as human beings, you know, our brain plays tricks on us and makes you assume things that people are not really thinking. So you're kind of like, yeah, I don't think this person thinks this about me. And it's, and that's not our job. Our job is not to, like, that's a difficult way to live. To continuously assume what you think is on people.
Give yourself a headache, fam.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, for me,
you'll be fine.
Either way, we all
right.
If you, oh, thank you, all really, blah, blah, blah. But if not, it's okay. I know I've had conversations where I hear people say, yo, he's a pastor, yo. How can you be a pastor, be X, Y, and Z? I'm like, you can't be my pastor. I'm like, darling, I'm not trying to be your pastor. You know, with all due respect, those who have been called to, I'm called to. And if I'm not your cup of tea, that's all right. Get another cup.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Exactly.
I'm not trying to be your pastor. Yeah. You can get one. I'm doing me.
Yeah.
Where we connect, we connect. If we don't, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And that's all right. But I'm just going to be who God has made me to be and be comfortable with that.
You know?
So, yeah. Definitely
I love
agree.
It. Yeah. I love it. So, in all of this stuff you've shared, right? Yeah. Like, at what point for you, what moment was like a tipping point to the PJ that we now know?
You know, I think every day for me is self-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the more I live and the way I find myself reacting to certain things or, you know, certain situations or speaking out to certain things rub me a wrong way and I find myself wanting to do something and then I do because I feel the urgency to do, I'm learning a lot about myself. Well, I think, so I don't know that at the time I'm like, this is who I am now. It's just accumulation of how life has played it, you know, my life experiences, the people I've interacted with, the seasons I've been in my life, the people I've met, the relationships I've had, I think have all been a culmination and led me to this person that I am today. I think I'm a sum of all my life experiences. So I don't know at the point where I was like, I am, you know, because I think even PJ, as you know, it is
but
still
was there
evolving.
A point where you said to yourself, you know, I'm going to pursue this, like I'm going full throttle or like I'm going to, you know, pursue everything with all of my might? Or have you always been like that, like since you were a kid?
I've always, if I wanted to do something, I always did it. You know, I'm kind of like that subtly stubborn person who won't fight you, but I'm just not going to do what I don't want to do.
Right.
You know, you can tell me, I'm like, okay, but I'm not going to, I can tell you yes, but when I'm saying no, I'm not going to do it. You know, and maybe it was just, for me, it's just like, if I have an opportunity and I can, why not?
Right.
If it pans out, I've had many failures, you know, and a lot of times people talk about their successes, but no one talks about their failures. I tell people failure is part of success. It's in the equation of success. If you're not ready to fail, you're not ready to succeed. I've been scammed. I've lost money, you know, financially, jump into the investment that just goes south, or someone says, let's do this, and you jump in with trust and it goes wrong.
Right.
And the times when you ask yourself, am I doing enough? I feel like, and I think for someone like me personally, I always feel like I put a lot of pressure on myself. I tell them I'm one of my hardest critics, because for me, I'm like, one of my biggest fears is not fulfilling my fullest potential. When you're gifted, you know, you can do so much, but at the same time, you know, because things come naturally easy, there's a tendency to be complacent and just relax because you know that you don't have to do, which can in some way keep you from reaching your goal. You know, being hungry, I think, is a blessing. I think what you'll find is most people who are born into wealth, they don't have that hunger. People who come from nothing, because of how they live, there's a drive. And that drive propels you to want to be better. So a lot of times I have to keep simulating hunger in my mind, in anywhere I'm, okay, so yeah, you do this, but how can you be better?
Right.
You know, so for me, you know, I think I just, every day it's like, okay, this is where I'm at, you know.
So you try to like self-motivate as well, because I feel like a lot of times like people are looking for external motivation, and like external motivation is great, but it's like, there's some days where you know, external motivation is not always going to come. Like, you're not always going to wake up and see something from someone telling you to do it.
You know, I think for me, self-motivation, yes, because for me, I keep pushing myself, like, you can be better.
Mm.
How can, you know, if you're here, how can you be the best? Mm. How can you be better? So, yes, there's that, you know, your drive to want to be excellent, your drive to want to be the best at what you do and to give you 110% everything that you do. And now, when it comes to external motivation, I feel like when I hinge it to something that's bigger than me. So for me, I hinge my external motivation to, say, my kids.
Mm.
Or, okay, every child should be better than their parents.
Right.
My parents have set the bar. I look at the shoes and I'm thinking, how the heck am I even going to do half of that? It's right. Like, you know what? I'm just keep doing me. You know, and somehow God, I don't know what miracle is going to do, you know, but at this point, you know, I've just resigned myself to God. I say, God, however you want to do it, you know. So for me, I look at my kids and I think, nah, you know, I want to be that man that my son can be proud of. I want to be that man that my daughter can be proud of. You know, when I had my kids, I had to consider my father and said, you know what? Especially when I was having my son, it was a different kind of pressure because I began to look at myself introspectively, my strengths, my weaknesses. And I'm like, my life is the page, is the chapter that will start this boy's life. So my good, the bad, my strengths, my weaknesses. Mm. It's not what I say, but what he'll see me do, because kids learn a lot by what you do, not what you say. I'm like, who am I? And what blueprint am I mapping out for my son? With how he, you know, his ethics and life, responsibility, respect, drive. So I begin to channel myself and challenge myself to be that person that is that good role model, that foundation for him to start.
Yeah.
And my daughter, what man am I, you know, presenting to her? What her sense of love and security and confidence and, you know. So when I anchor those motivations to my children or, you know, just leave a legacy like my mom has done and my father continues to do, and to be a good husband to my wife and to push my wife the way my father pushed my mother.
Right.
Those are my external motivators that I feel like are bigger than me. So even when I'm tired, I'm like, listen, I don't feel like, I'm like, you get your, like, oh, come on, get your butt up. You gotta, you know. So I think it's a bit of both for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Why do you think, like, a lot of people don't pursue their gifts to the fullest? Because I see you, like, you're pursuing to the fullest, but a lot of people don't. You know, why do you think some people don't?
Fear.
Mm.
You know, once you break away from the fear, I think fear is... is a good thing. Fear can be positive. You know, people think that courage is the absence of fear. No, but courage is doing it in spite of fear, right? A lot of times people don't do so because they're, what if I fail? But once you demystify what failure is and say it's okay to fail, as long as you fail forward, as long as you learn from it, just do it. So what? It's like almost trying, it's like trying to chat up a chick. I talk about this, like, the worst you say is no. You ask her, she says no. And what happens? Do you die? No, you'll be all right. You'll be like, okay, move on. You're not going to die. The sun's not going to stop shining. You know, if you try and then you fail, then pick yourself and try again. You know, so I think a lot of people, because of fear, like, what if, you know, the people who we refer to today as trailblazers, the ones that are crazy enough to bet on themselves and no one could see it, to have that vision and say, you know what? I saw an interview with Bezos in 97. They asked him, what are you going to be? He said, I'm going to be richest man in the world.
Mm.
Boy, looking like he worked in Walmart with his baggy, you know, right. With his hair looking funny, always going bald. He's like, I'm going to be richest man in the world. And it's like, why? I said, it's simple. He said, you know, the world is moving and everything is, commerce is going online. So build a company that's integrated with the way the world is going. You'll be the richest man.
Yeah.
And when he said it, man looked like he couldn't rub like $2 together. Now, sure enough.
Right, yeah.
And he built Amazon, he keeps it. You get what I'm saying? So a lot of times is when it's like, stop waiting for the approval of people. Just, if you have this crazy idea, it's only crazy, it's crazy until somebody does it.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I had that. I had that thought.
Yeah.
And somebody was crazy enough to start on it, and there's so many people that have ideas, never becomes reality. That's why entrepreneurs, you, Fisher, when you guys, I have a respect for people who can create something in their mind and bring it to reality, and then other people can physically walk into your vision.
Mm.
That's a powerful thing. You create this thing in your head and say, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And then
you can do it.
You do it, and people begin to, their lives get impacted by what you thought of.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's fear, you know, remove the fear of failure, remove the fear of approval, remove the fear, just do it, you know, and yes, you're not going to, you might not be the best today, but the more you do it, just by default, if I do something over and over again, I get better naturally. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I completely agree with you. Like, fear is a big one, and you kind of hit the nail on the head on the second part, which I found that a lot of people don't have staying power. And staying power is actually, like, I tell people all the time, I'm like, the one thing that I probably have over you is staying power. Because there's so many people who have started off where I started off and, like, have dropped off. I've watched them drop off, you know? And it's like, because it's frustrating. Like, you're gonna have frustrating moments, you're gonna have victories, you're gonna have downtimes, and what happens is that people give up.
True.
Right? So, like, that thing of just, like, seeing something and saying, I'm gonna keep going. And not even just because and this kind of touches on what you mentioned before, where it's not even that you are seeing a vision and walking towards it alone, but it's like, this is just who you are.
Right.
Like, it's just it's never gonna change.
Right.
It is who you are. Right. So it's you expressing who you are. You don't know any other way. Right. Like, this is who you are. And so, like, being able, so I love, you know, the idea of the fear, but then I love that you landed at the staying power. Which is, you have to continue going, right? Consistently over time.
You have to. Consistency is key. And that's where a lot of people struggle, is consistent. Like, absolutely. The times that, listen, let me, a little confession. I know a lot of times people always want to make people seem like you got it all together. So looking on the table, I was looking at the books and I saw this thing called purpose.
Right.
And I was like, man, I've been saying I'm going to write a book for a long time. And I pick up Dora's book, like, dude, what is wrong with you? Write your freaking book.
This is a reminder. This is good.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Now that you said this, I'm going to hold you accountable for this. Because this is productivity right here, right?
Because
so I'm holding you accountable.
This is the thing, because, I mean, I've started a book
PJ
and it's like,
PJ is going to be writing a book. We're going to start doing pre-orders in another in about a year, right? So he's going to write this book within the next year, and then you guys can pre-order.
Yeah, because I'm like, and it's what you mean, because like, I'm like, you got to do it. Just do it, you know, and find it. I'm like, I literally thought that when I was like, see, Dora is already tricking me this.
No, but you know, it took me a while. I mean, I wrote the book. It took me a while to get to the point of writing the book.
Right.
But I wrote the book in like a few days, right?
Of course, because you're an alien.
No, because it was like brewing.
Right,
it was brewing. But I feel like, even though there was a point where I said, but I've been wanting to write a book, I feel like there were experiences I need to go through that needed to make it into the book, right? And until I had those experiences, the book wasn't complete. So at the point where I wrote it, I felt like, oh my gosh, like, this is a complete book.
Right, right.
And it's quite interesting because, like, I'm writing my second book now, right? And I'm like, if people thought this book
was good,
they're in trouble. But it just shows you that, like, you know, you're pouring out your experiences per time.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there was the purpose, but then there was the fact where it's like, how do you now take purpose and like then run with it?
Right.
That's like a completely different time and season in my life, right?
Yeah,
and it's like, you can't miss, because what happens, I felt like this thing called purpose wasn't complete. Well, it was complete as a book, but it wasn't complete in terms of the ideology.
Right.
Because what will happen is you can read it and feel like, oh, I need to find my purpose. I need to, you know, I found my purpose. This is what I'm about and everything. But it's like,
now what?
The purpose got to run.
You know this now.
You're living purposefully. Yeah. You're doing this, but it's like, you gotta move.
Right.
Right. And so I think, like, you know, yeah, I think with books, you just pour out per time, and you know, you pour it and leave it. Whatever happens. Yeah. Like, you don't overthink how many people are gonna read it.
Right.
Because I feel like with authors, like that happens at the beginning, where you're like, how many downloads, how many people have ordered it, but it's not about that. Like, you need to get it out. And in a couple more years, it might be the hit. It might not be. But whoever was meant to read it will read it. And I kind of want to, you know, talk about, because we've now talked about parts of your journey in different ways, and we talked about the staying power.
Right.
And in this staying power, I want to talk about, like, the fact that you are with acting, especially, right? That's a career that we know that in this part of the world isn't lucrative.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
But we've been saying yes for many years. Because I'm not lucrative yet.
Yes.
But, like, you know, but it's not very lucrative.
Right.
And you've had staying power there as well, you know. And I kind of want to, you know, speak to that. Mm. You know, it's like, how, beyond the financial parts of it, like, how do you just wake up every day and still show up to set?
You know, I think there's a passion for it. And I think that's where passion, I feel like I'm lucky and blessed to have a career or some semblance of a career where it's Monday and Monday feels like I don't count the days of the week.
Right.
Monday, Saturday, Saturday is Monday. Every day is the same day where I get up and I show up and I get to become somebody else or play a role. I enjoy what I do, right? And because I enjoy what I do, there are not too many people who have the luxury of, I've seen people say, quotes say, you have to do what you need to do so you can do what you want to do. There's a time where you do what you need so you can want to, but then if you're blessed to be able to where your needs and want in terms of they are in the same space where I'm working because yes, if you don't work, you won't eat, but I actually enjoy it. I mean, obviously there's the hassle of set. Yeah. That's a whole completely different thing. And that's where the passion helps you when everything's just going wrong and the money is rubbish and the unprofessionalism and people saying 4 days, they beg you to do 6 days and all of that, you know, royalties, all the stuff we know. But I think I enjoy it, you know, and because I enjoy it, it gives me the ability to stay. There's a passion for it that's not forced, it wasn't coerced. It's just, it's just kind of been that creative side of me. So anything that allows me to express myself creatively, I'm happy to do it. There was a time we were on set and I got to play producer and I was in a studio mistake. Yeah. I created two songs in there. I was like, yo. People were shocked. I'm like, listen, I'm about to drop a hit right now. And the producer has refused to give it to me because that's a banger. I've been begging the guy. But the guy has telling me the computer has crashed. He doesn't want me to pay him plenty money because he knows that. Complete, you know.
Producer.
You know what I mean? Solve so, do you know what I mean? The like, guy's like, yo, you need to, you know. But so anything that gives me that ability to create, to express creatively, I think it's a blessing. I think so. That's what has helped me in this industry.
Yeah.
And obviously, let's not negate, you can have passion, but you need to have talent and you have to be able to bring value. Because in our industry, talking about Nollywood, barriers to entry is extremely low. Anybody can be an actor today. Mm. When you come talk about supply and demand, the supply is higher than the demand. There are too many people that everybody and their mother wants to act. And you don't need to be necessarily skillful to be an actor in Nollywood.
Right.
Do you look good? Are you an influencer? Are you a fine boy, fine girl? Or do you have followers? So you want to act, come and act.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how long you've been. You have someone that's been in the industry for 20 years. Someone goes to Big Brother house, comes out tomorrow. They'll pay the person times five of you that have been there for 20 years because they have the numbers.
Right.
So you have an industry where a lot of people, you know, every day, the amount of people that are coming in keeps increasing. Mm. So you have to make sure that you create that value where you create a brand that separates you from everybody else. So at the end of the day, there might be a lot of people, but no one can do what you do. So if I need this particular skill set or the ability, I'm going for this person. How do you create a blue ocean in a red ocean of actors?
Right.
If that makes any sense, right? So for me, I think it's the passion, but also trying to make sure you build your craft daily. Every time you're at work, it's another opportunity to learn on the job. And you push yourself emotionally, you push yourself physically, you know, to stretch to become better. So I think that's what's helped me, you know, my passion. I get on there and I don't come with mentality, I'm an actor. If I'm on here, I'm here 110%. If the generator breaks down, I can fix it, I'm gonna fix it. You know, I'm crew, I'm actor, I'm talking to cast, I'm talking to crew members. You know, it's like whatever we need to do to get it out there and make it a success, if I'm a part of it, I'm gonna give you my 110%. So I think that's what's helped me.
I love it. We talked about like, you know, a lot of the natural abilities that you have, your talents, your creative skills and all of that. I mean, I saw you dancing the other day.
Right, that's it.
You're like one of those guys that can just do everything. You're like, oh, you know, we're all hanging out. Hey, does anybody want to try this? And PJ is just like, oh yeah, and then it works. And everybody's like, why does everything work for you? But anyways, we've talked about all those gifts, but I want to talk about a gift that I feel like you don't really, I haven't heard you talk much about this on interviews, but I feel like you have a very amazing gift of like connecting with people, right? So you have this gift of like connecting with people and almost feeling what they feel.
Right.
Like it's like empathy,
right?
But and you're able to like communicate what they're not saying, right? And you do this, obviously you do it through with pastoring, but you also do it like with the relationship coaching and with a lot of the content that you share as well. Right. Like I look at you and I'm like, you've got all these creative skills, but you're also a teacher.
Mm.
At the very foundation, right, of what it is that you do, you're a teacher, right? you may not brand yourself that way, but that, like, that's what's it. Because I learn a lot from the content. I mean, not always engage, right? I always give that as my disclaimer.
Because
I don't always engage.
I'm being aside, like, what is this cartoon? How does she do it?
Yeah, you know, and the funny thing is, anyway, that's a side conversation for another thing. But I think the funny thing is, when I'm into something, I don't always engage. Because I'm just drawing from it, you know? Anyways. So, you know, I feel like you do all of that. So with the teaching, for instance, like, you know, like, tell me about that. Like, how do you think about the people when you're giving?
You know, it's interesting that you pick up on that. And just, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's you, but, you know, because you're just like Jedi. you know, sensei. You know, I think, I don't know, for me, and you're right, I think that God has just blessed me, like you said, to connect with people. It's weird that I can meet somebody today and then 10 minutes into 20 minutes of conversation, they're like, I've never told anyone this before. Why am I telling you this? I'm like, trust me, don't worry, it happens. Don't worry. Maybe because you just saw that.
Right.
I'd say, I don't know. People trust me with their deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah. In one conversation, they tell me their whole life story. And I think if I could try to break it down, not that I've ever done it before, maybe a lot of people don't have the gift of listening. And I think there's a difference between listening to hear and listening to understand. Completely different. Listening to respond and listening to understand. A lot of times people just, hey, you know, but when you're listening to understand what you're doing, you talked about empathy, is you're trying to understand where they're coming from and putting yourself in their state of mind and looking at their life through their lenses of their eyes. And so you can understand this person, and when you can connect and understand, then you can help them, or you can offer advice, or you can empathize and understand why, you know, they are the way they are. You know, a lot of times, you know, I've had conversations with people and they're telling me my father is like this and my mother is this. And I'm like, okay, can we take a step back? Have you ever bothered to ask your father how he grew up? Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah, let's understand that, because if he's so militant and he doesn't show love, maybe his idea of love was what he experienced as a boy.
Yeah.
And so what has made him the man he is the experiences he went through. And when you begin to understand that, then he helps you to better, you know, handle or
navigate
with him, because you understand where he's coming from. So I think for me, it's just listening to understand. And once you do, it's very clear. Once you understand and see, then you can say, okay, I think this is where we should go. Mm. And for me, I one of the things I enjoy is people watching. You know, I can be, you know, I can be very loud, and, you know, but sometimes I'm quite, people are like, what's wrong? Well, nothing's wrong. I like to observe, because you can learn a lot by observation, you know, non-verbal communication, body cues, you know, things you can, if you take the time, you know, take that time to sit and observe, you'll be surprised what you see, because most people are going through, you know, but it's just like, there's something, what's wrong? I'm okay. No. You say you're okay, but I can see that you're not, because I'm taking the time to observe. So I think for me is listening and that keen sense of observation, which obviously, and empathy, because I have to want to be able to connect with you. If I have no empathy, then there's no way I can understand you or connect with you and reason, you know, and a lot of times I like to. And even with acting, you got to empathize with a character. You got to put yourself in someone else's shoes. If you haven't walked a while in my shoes, then you can't understand my journey. You know, so I think empathy, listening, and observation, I think maybe this is why, if I had to break it down.
But does it ever get overwhelming? Like, and I'm asking this because, like, for me, for instance, I'm an empath, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of times I can feel people's emotions, I see them, but I don't always want to go there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not because, so it could seem like I don't care,
right,
but I just don't want to go there,
right,
because I'm also trying to preserve my energy, and maybe I have something going on as well. So it's always like, you know, I can see your hurts, and I want to deal with your hurts, but not today.
Yeah,
you absolutely. Know, do you feel like
that? Yeah, because I'm only human, and it's draining.
Yeah.
It's physically draining, because you sit through a conversation with somebody and you go through stages with them. You're walking through their journey. So it has the same impact on you. So when it's all said and done, whether it's preaching, whether it's having a deep conversation or counseling or whatever it is, you're giving of yourself. Whether you know it or not, you are. So yes, at times when it's like, I get my phone rings. I'm like, oh, you know, because you're, you know,
especially for you, who's also, I mean, you're a pastor. Yo. Like, so the obligation is there. Versus if you were just like a teacher, a speaker type thing, with you, there's actually an obligation.
I've learned that your call has no respect of your emotions. It doesn't matter how you feel. You can tell your call today, I don't feel like it. You can wake up, I don't want to preach. I don't care. You know, you have to go up and give a word, and no one's asking, Pastor, how are you? How's your emotional health?
Right.
How's your mental health? How do you feel today? They want a word from God, and by golly, you're going to give them one. Because if you don't, they're going to have a problem.
Right.
They came expected. So, you know, I mean, I was, remember a time in the Bible when Jesus, he just lost John, and said it took some time to be away from his disciples to go grieve. Mm-hmm. And then the people came and saw him. And they rushed towards him, and he had compassion for them and decided to heal them.
Right.
This was one of the lowest moments. He just lost his cousin. And he's trying to be like, but then people are like, we need you. And he's like, oh. And then out of that, you know, it draws that side of you out. So, yes, it definitely does get draining. But I guess he gives us that grace. And sometimes you have to take that time for yourself and say, you know what? You got to be aware. Self-awareness is very important as well. So when you feel like you've gotten to your limit for a time, disconnect for a bit. Come back and pick it up if you can, but definitely it does get draining. Mm.
All right, so we've kind of talked about like high energy PJ with all the amazing work you've done and everything. But I kind of want to, you know, talk about the PJ that wants alone time, that is quiet, you know, like, do you ever have moments like that where you just want like time to yourself? And then I also wanted to know, like, do you meditate? Like, what's that process like for you?
I think when I have nothing on my schedule, where there's nothing like I'm not going to speak or preach or do this or that, I do enjoy just, you know, being by myself and how I relax, you know, if I'm, you know, read a book, you know, watch series, just not think and just kind of be. It's really good for me. And I think for me, you know, because of the nature of my life, I value my alone time, so I don't get a lot of that. You know, when you're dealing with, when you're a people person, your job or your position, you keep interfacing with people. Sometimes you don't even realize that sometimes you get uncomfortable with silence because you're so used to the hustle
the
and bustle.
Noise,
and then it's like, oh, and then you realize that, you know, with the lockdown where I'm in my house by myself, you know, my family's not here. And it's like, okay, now it's a time to recalibrate. Time to get centered back, and you have those conversations and meditation where it's like, okay, you have you and God time, and you get to look at your life like a case study as a consultant. If you got a client, and you're like, okay, this is where I'm at. Where are you trying to go? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? What do you need to do better? You know, what are the things that you said you should have done, that you said you would do that you haven't done? You know, how do you reposition? So I think. Definitely, I do enjoy those alone moments, you know, and it does help me. And sometimes it's just like, turn the phones off.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk to anybody.
Turn the
now,
phones yeah. off. I'll check my wife, babe, you good? Okay, all right, turn the phones off. So I'll put it away and just kind of be, you know. So
do you meditate?
Yes. But
like, what is your meditation process?
Well, so
process?
When I say meditation, I mean, it's worship, you know, or listen to a good old word. You know, sometimes you need a, you know, T.J. Jakes said a good sermon make you just want to, a good sermon makes, if you hear a good sermon, it makes you want to read your Bible. Just feel inadequate, like, man, what have I been? Get you a good word. I'd be like, oh, that man is just something else. T.J. Jakes, that's
right.
I mean, one of my personal favorites, but, you know, so just lock into the word, you know, and, or, some reading that I think is, well, if it's not spiritual or biblical, then maybe a good book that just has me thinking. So for me, that's how I kind of, you know, play some music.
What kind of music?
Depends on the mood. Depends on what I'm feeling. But by myself, I just want to be, I gotta be goofy dancing around the house. Or if I'm kind of chilling, you know, I'm gonna put on jazz right now. I feel like jazz. I put on some jazz, feel grown, grab a nice book.
I listen to jazz, like, oh yes, you know, put some Frank Sinatra, you know, whatever the case is, depending on what I'm feeling, Nat King Cole, you know, put that on. Awesome clap. Listen, it's just the mood.
Right. Depending on what I'm feeling. It's a vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So it's a vibe. Like, so I just go to the library and just put anything on. But yeah, so.
And there are times where, like, even with that vibe, like, there are times where I'll play music from, like, the early 2000s. Yo. You know, like, when there was, like, Cameron. Yo. Like Cameron's Hey Ma,
those were the best like, times.
Yeah, those were
music great, best.
Yeah, Nelly and Kelly.
Oh yeah, all of these ones now they don't guys, know. And then right. We play this thing, they don't realize how old you are. Cause they're like, what is that?
True.
You don't know that song. Dang, you've been getting my life like, am I that old? Like I thought I'm young. But like, I'm like, you don't know this song. You never heard this song before.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, but I definitely love R&B. Yeah, R&B. 2000s, some Ja Rule, the Shanti, yeah. The 112.
Because I feel like we can
Diddy's
relate to that
shit.
Music better. Like yeah. It was, you know, it was music. Cause now there's times where I wanna listen to music and I'm like, Adora, are you listening to music that you really want to listen to, or are you listening to music that just seems like the music to listen to? So sometimes, so what I have now is I have playlists. Right?
Right.
I have different playlists for different things.
Right.
And then I'll listen to some, you know, I listen to like some hip hop conscious type music from like the '80s, nineties, then I'll listen to the 2000s.
Yeah.
I feel like that's where I get the most vibe.
Yeah.
that's my thing. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember how old was that when Bump came out?
Yo, let's just talk about Bump. I remember where I was and I felt like, who are these guys?
Yeah, you know, but it's interesting because it's like you realize that the music is timeless.
Yeah.
The music evokes emotions that
it takes you.
Yeah, like, you know, because I feel better. Like, I feel better when I listen to some types of music. Because I feel like, you know, music takes you on a journey where it's like, depending on what point you were at when you were listening to the sound, right? Like, you remember it. So you flash back and your brain is kind of like, oh,
I mean,
gosh,
music therapy and all that stuff just takes you. Every time I hear Sound of Music, it's nostalgia.
I go back to my childhood. I'm sitting in my grandparents' house and I'm just watching, like, I love it.
I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
It's timeless. It's evergreen.
It's like the song that you played when you had your heartbreak in college. You're just like, what are you hearing now?
It'll take you back. I'm not playing with you. Music is powerful. I know where when I heard this music, man. I mean, you can connect with it. No, I don't listen to this music nowadays.
It's different, It's very different.
I feel like I don't listen to music anymore. Right. Then when you had the CDs with the booklets. The original CD, the booklet to
I
your
had,
CD.
Like, the lyrics.
Yo,
so you can connect to the lyrics, I mean, time has done its thing, and I think it's just going to continue to evolve.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like we're, it's like it's moved in different phases, but like we're coming back to the old days again, full circle. It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
PJ, I want to talk about you know, I talked about all the energy that you have, but I want to talk about like your health and your fitness, because I know you work out a lot. You're always like pushing boundaries on the workouts and stuff, but you know, like, what is your health and fitness journey being like?
So it all started with working out. The year was 2002. I looked at myself and I said, I don't want to be skinny anymore. I want to go out and work out. So I went to Lagos Country Club and a little rickety gym, and I'm like, okay, what do you do? And then I started trying to push. Even with anything in life, you know, I think I would give myself goals and like targets. If I hit this, if I can push this, I'll retire. The time I said, if I can push two plates on the bench, then I'm gonna never do decline again. Then it went to three plates, then it went to four plates, and now you're doing a 200, 300, 400 pounds, and you keep pushing. It's like, you want to see how far you can go. I mean, I tore my chest on the bench and had surgery, you know, in my fitness life. Yeah, just trying to see how far you can go. But for me, I think with working out, what it's done for me especially is talking about consistency, is it teaches you, the thing about working out has taught me life lessons.
Discipline
and consistency. And not relying on what you've done, not being comfortable. Because with lifting weights, it's not about what you pushed yesterday, it's what you can push today. So if you work out for a week and you don't go work out, you come back 2 weeks later, you think that if you were doing three plates before you left, you can't come back to those three plates. You're going to have to start again from to build yourself, let your muscles remember. So it keeps you discipline. It gives me discipline where you have to, you know, it teaches me how to beat my body into submission. When my body's crying and my mind is saying keep going, and your mind, you want to stop, and your mind is saying you have five more reps, and your body's saying please, and like, no, let's go. So it teaches me resilience. It teaches me. So for me, I started in 2002, you know, I mean, when
2020, you know, it's a long time,
you know, off and on, and I've had that, you know, but for me, I think it's because of all those other things that it does for me. And obviously there's the thing of being the best is what you do and trying to improve in every way. Mm-hmm. And it now becomes your lifestyle. So for me, I like to push myself. So whether we're running sports or lifting or doing whatever, okay, let's see how far we can go. Mm-hmm. What can your body take? It gives you mental fortitude, mental resilience. Your physical and mental strength is built in this activity. Mm-hmm. So I've been on that since 2002. Mm-hmm. Health-wise, you know, I've been pretty much good. I mean, funny enough, I think my father's side, they had a history of hypertension, so blood pressure, and a lot of young people don't pay attention to that, you know. And then check my BP one day, and it was crazy high. I was like, wait, what's right. going on, you know? And so now, you know, the older I've gotten, now I'm in a place in my life where I'm very intentional. Now the doctor said, okay, well, you know, you have to watch your levels of, I'm like, yo, you know, you can't eat fatty, saturated stuff.
Yeah.
You have to drink a lot of water because X, Y, and Z. So even now, I tell a lot of young people, listen, pay attention. There are a lot of young people that just drop dead.
Yeah.
Their BP is skyrocketing, and they don't know what that is. So for me,
pay attention to your health.
Yeah. And now, because again, my wife always says this to me, you have a responsibility to stay alive for your children. No one's going to love your kids like you. So in all your the same things you're thinking, okay, as much as I push the boundaries, I get, but like, you know what, you know, I got these people to worry about, you know, and I got to be here as long as I can for them.
Yeah.
So with that as well, it gives me that sense of responsibility where now health is wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that. And when I had my surgery, it was 2014, I was pushing 4.5 plates. It was about, I don't know, maybe 440 pounds, about.
Wow.
And I was going in. It was. I shouldn't have.
What was it you said about not being superhuman?
Right. No. But
go on.
One of those things, just me trying to push myself.
So you had not eaten.
No, I hadn't eaten, and you know I shouldn't have been in the gym because I was tired. I hadn't eaten. But I was trying to push myself, you know, and so I went into the gym that day and stacked it on and was pushing. And I didn't even realize when my chest, tore, because I just felt like a little sprain. But I went down second rep, third rep, I just realized it felt like muscle pull, electric shock, and a tail at the same time. It was like, this is good. And I couldn't move my arm anymore. I'm like, guys, because the whole gym was watching, like, this skinny guy has to push. I was like, okay, guys, we need you to get this. I couldn't move my. So there's a big little thing. It's swollen up. I thought it was a little sprain. I was going to go to the hospital. My wife made me, thank God.
Right.
They said, oh, bruh, you have ruptured your pectoral major from your upper and lower clavicle. I was like, wait, what? It's like, yeah, if this is your chest, you tore it off from top to bottom, and the little tendons that connect them are both gone. You need to have surgery.
Yeah.
I need to have, first I have surgery. Either have surgery or let it heal naturally, and you can't work on the same leg. Surgery, please. Because I need to work out,
right?
So I had to go to the UK to do it, but I say that to say, when I came out, I had to have physio, and I couldn't move my arm. And things that you take for granted, when you tell your arm moving, it moves.
Mm.
You just think, arm move, it wasn't moving. And so I had to learn to get my range of motion back from here. It took months to get it to where I could go up.
Moving,
and then, you know, things are taken for granted.
Right.
And so you realize that in life, things that we just take for granted are really important. So that health as well factor. And having to get back into the gym again to start from scratch, things that I was doing with ease, I was like shaking like a leaf, you know. But again, so I think, definitely for me,
I mean, kind of big. People work out for like so many different reasons.
Yeah.
Like for some people, it's just like, okay, you know, it's health. For some people, it's aesthetic, you know, different things. I like that you mentioned the discipline because I think like, you know, like there's a lot of discipline that comes with that, especially if you can be consistent.
Yeah.
Because if you can do that, you can literally take it and apply it to other parts of your life
it
where you're
like
you can show up.
Yeah. It won't feel like it's show up.
Yeah, you're like, just show up. You know, show up and you don't have to do like major, but you
but just
do,
show up. Yeah.
You know, versus like nothing at all. So like, I really love that. PJ, I wanted to end this with you just sharing two productivity tips, right, that you think that you would want people to learn. Like so when you feel unproductive and stuff, like two tips that, you know, you typically deploy in this case.
So I think whenever I come to I think about myself, if I come to like a roadblock where I can't, you know, move past, you know, like I'm kind of stuck. For me, I kind of try to stimulate my mind with things that I know that get me mentally stimulated. So if it's listen to a good sermon or listen to somebody speak, get my mental juices flowing, things that excite me, listen to really good music. I think for me, it kind of helps when you stimulate your mind, you kind of take a step back from whatever it is you're trying to say, write a block or you're trying to write a thing and just kind of channel your mind somewhere else and let it get stimulated. I think it also, it helps me personally to, you know. And I think when it comes to productivity and just being, I think efficiency, well, that's like three things, but I think efficiency is key, where how do I, how can I not just work hard, but work smart?
Right.
Because a lot of, it's like, think about, you take take an axe, and adult axe, and you try to fell a tree, but if you sharpen it, you know, it's like, okay, this is what I'm trying to do, but how can I do it efficiently? Because time is very, you can't take away the importance of time.
Right.
Time is a currency that, you know, the first thing they teach you in business, that time is money.
Right, economy. Yeah, time is money.
So if I need you to fix something, you can do it in 1 minute versus someone that does it in 1 hour. Yeah. Guess what? I want to go with you because you, your turnaround time is quicker.
Yeah.
Because you've mastered the art of efficiency. And there's a story of this guy that they called in to come. He was trying to get someone to fix a ship, some part of the ship, and he called 1, 2, 3, 4 guys, and they couldn't. He calls some guy who comes in, he looks at it for 1 minute, presses a button, and gives him a bill of 100,000. And the guy's like, wait, yes, yeah, working, but you were here for 30 seconds. How are you going to charge me 100,000?
Right.
He's like, bruh. And he said, it's like, he said, he asked him and said, you know, it's the work was 100,000, but the knowledge,
yes, absolutely. That's the value that I'm bringing to this.
Straight, I have mastered my craft to the point where I know how to do what it will take people 10. I just
so
pushing yourself to become a master, efficient in whatever you do, so that you're always giving value. I think you can't deny value, always, you know, right where you are, simulate value, create value, not simulate it, create it, so that even when you are not there, tell people if you step out of work and no one knows that you're gone, there's a problem.
True.
If they don't miss you, they're like, oh, did you come to work today? No.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, because you're.
And value kind of, I feel like value almost kind of communicates itself at some point.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe in the beginning, you have to communicate that value, right? What? Because you want to sell yourself.
Yeah,
but at some point, it communicates itself.
Absolutely.
Because it's in action.
Yes.
Not insane. There's so many people who are like, I value it, but we'll see me. You're continuously saying it, but we can't. There's no track record.
No.
Like, there's nothing. You know, like you share, you talk about stuff you're doing, and it's like it's apparent. Like, in fact, the reason why we know these things is because you've shown it. Do you know what I mean? Like, so anyone who's talking about PJ's story is like, it's been documented. Right. In fact, the reason I know PJ is because. Or PJ's, the things PJ does and has shown and, you know, about himself. And, like, that's the beauty of it. PJ, that was an awesome conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
and I
too.
Can't wait for other people to hear it.
I feel like we should, you know, if they leave us,
we'll continue.
We're
going
to be here. Like,
yeah. And I feel like, you know, there are multiple conversations I want to have with you. So, so obviously,
anytime you call me,
we need to have a faith-based one as well. And I think it'll be interesting, but we need Fisher on the table.
Yo,
multiple.
You guys, I don't think like you guys. Just why am I on this team?
No.
Between the both of you, I don't think like guys.
No. So I think it'll be an interesting conversation to have. But thank you so much. It was great.
Thank you for having
me. See you.
It is an honor to be on the table. And it's like when a door calls you. You know, listen. You know, some people that call you, they know that they're making it in life. No. Okay, wait, hold on. Wait,
are you acting now?
No, I'm being serious. Wait, check. Okay, hold on, I'll prove it to you. Okay. So, for instance, you know, if Dangote called you to a meeting, you must be, who Dangote is,
right,
and is calling you,
right,
that means Dangote has seen value in you, and it feels like you're somebody worth talking to. And because of the person he is, he tells you that, I'm not doing badly. But you get so if you come here to talk to me, I say then maybe it is craziness because you're a deep person, though. Let me tell you,
it's working.
But you know, she's deep. You know, see that people you talk to, you don't gotta think about your life after. You're like, but wait, God gave us the same brain now.
Well, I will say though, in this conversation, it was kind of the opposite in the sense that I feel like, no, seriously, like I feel like I learned a lot from just listening to you. And sometimes we don't, even though we have a lot of conversations here and there, like sometimes I feel like when you're friends with someone, like you can take for granted the fact that this person can teach you things. Right. And for me, like speaking to people that I know is always like a deeper level because then I can, I'm listening to you and I'm just like, oh wow, like I'm taking a lot, right, out of this conversation. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. And if you haven't noticed, like I have a very, very amazing gift of deflecting.
You don't try to kind of tip this. I'm like, okay, we'll not let you end because we'll keep going back and forth.
All right then.
Thank you for having me.
Great,
switched on.